How the average woman has to work 83 more days to get paid like the average man. I'm David Brancaccio. Today is Equal Pay Day for women. It marks how long into 2021 the average woman would have to work in order to earn the same income the average man made in just 2020. In other words, it represents the reality of the gender pay gap in America. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
The economic fallout of the pandemic hit women much harder than men. And yet, oddly enough, says C. Nicole Mason, who runs the Institute for Women's Policy Research, the pay gap tightened.
And the reason for that is that we saw an enormous amount of job loss in lower wage sectors for women.
Many women who work in restaurants and hotels and other services lost their jobs. And that meant the women who were still working had higher incomes, which slightly narrowed the wage gap. But when you break down the data further, says Gloria Blackwell at the American Association of University Women,
we do fear that where the pay gap is already wide, for example, for Black women and Latinas, that we may see a widening of that gap.
And this all translates into an even bigger issue for Heather McCullough, who runs the group Closing the Women's Wealth Gap.
We know going into the pandemic that women of color actually own pennies on the dollar compared to white men and white women.
And she expects that to worsen post-pandemic unless companies work hard to bring women back into the labor force. Tracy Stone is director of the Tech Women at Intuit initiative, which works to re-employ women in the tech industry. She says addressing the wage gap is one part, but
it also means the day-to-day pieces of, you know, supporting a culture of inclusion and enabling flexibility, enabling our employees to bring their whole selves to work.
Once women and the rest of the folks out of work can get back to work. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Stock index futures are up now, with the NASDAQ future up 0.7%, the S&P future up 0.3%. The 10-year interest rate is steady, 1.6% now. A company popular with entry-level investors has filed the confidential paperwork with regulators to eventually sell its own stock to the public. No word yet on when a Robinhood IPO would happen. When individual investors, guided by threads on the online message board Reddit, started a frenzy buying GameStop shares this year, many bought their GameStop using the Robinhood app for free. But if it's free, how does Robinhood make its money? And what a risk for those who might consider buying eventual Robinhood stocks. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Hi, Eric.
Good morning, David.
All right, riddle me this. If it's free to trade stocks, options, etc. on Robinhood for people like you and me, how does Robinhood make its money?
If I place an order with Robinhood to sell 100 shares of IBM, Robinhood turns around and sells that order to a market maker who takes the other side of the trade and makes money from the trade. That market maker is the one who pays Robinhood. It's called paying for order flow.
Now, you hope that this market maker, this third party, gives the Robinhood client the best deal, and that's been at issue. Robinhood paid a $65 million fine after the SEC accused it of misleading customers about this system of how it explains how it makes money.
Yeah, and there are two stories about that. You have to wonder whether you're getting the best price. How can these market makers afford to pay for order flow if they're giving you the best price? But technically, they might be giving you as good a price as anybody else because they're not making their money by chiseling you on the price. They're making money because you, as a Robinhood person, are likely to be an uninformed seller or buyer, and it reduces the risk of the market maker to have some of the people it trades with be uninformed people, because on the other side, they're dealing with really sophisticated hedge fund people. So they might be paying Robinhood just to lay off a little of their own risk. The risk with this complicated pay for order flow model is that if the government decides that paying for order flow should be restricted in some way, Robinhood's revenue model falls apart.
Revenue model falls apart, which is something if you're thinking of buying this eventual new Robinhood stock, you have to factor into your thinking.
Yeah, that could be a big problem if you buy a stock of a company that loses its way of making revenue.
And regulators, you know, will continue to review how Robinhood does its business after it's publicly traded. And, you know, you can't rule out more regulation, I suppose.
That's a risk. In fact, the SEC and the industry self-regulatory body and several states are looking into the question as we speak.
So when this new stock hits the market, what do you think? Some interest?
You know, you have to wonder, given all that risk, who's going to buy the stock? I think there's going to be a rush of people trying to buy the stock. When most companies go public, they really want individual investors to buy the IPO because the individual investors are less likely to quickly flip the stock. I think Robinhood's going to have a flood of individual investors. A lot of the young people who are having fun trading stocks on Robinhood are going to buy Robinhood's own stock just because they like the company. That's their big criteria. And they're going to hold the stock to show loyalty to Robinhood. I think this IPO is going to be oversubscribed.
Well, we'll have to see. Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, David.
As part of the SEC case last fall, Robinhood agreed to hire a consultant to bring in outside expertise about communicating its business model and to review how it gets paid for orders. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.